Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone. It is now the 8:30 hour, time for Words of Wisdom. And I'm your host, Diane Adams, a servant of God. It's an honor and a privilege to come to you on tonight to be used by the Holy Spirit as we join ourselves together to explore the Word of God, to do as the Scripture instructs us to do, to study, to show ourselves approved. I thank God for the opportunity because I realize that everything that we do is an opportunity given to us by God. And for that, I'm grateful. I thank each and every one of you for taking time out of your busy schedule week after week. This is a day that the Lord has made, a great day. It's the end of the day. And I pray that all the activities in your life that you had to deal with today were able to be, you were able to accomplish it, realizing it's by the strength of God, not our own. It's all by God's grace, all things through Christ Jesus. And tonight, we're going to study a word in 1 Kings chapter 17 and verses 1 through 4, which is the entire chapter. And the title of our lesson is, Wherever God Guides or asks anything of you, his provisions are in place waiting for you. It has been proven over and over again. 1 Kings chapter 17. And at this time,
this next song right here is for those of you with challenges. How many people got challenges out there?
I'm going to play a song and we're going to come back and go to God's throne of grace and prayer for what the Holy Ghost want to perform for us on tonight, what he's going to give us. He's going to illuminate the truth that we become steadfast and immovable and always abounding in the Word of God. So the title of the song is Giants. There's so many things going around in our lives that we look at our trials and tribulations, setbacks, adversities, the different deaths, the sickness, the heartache, the pain. They look like giants in our lives. So I'm going to play this song about giants. And we're going to go to God once we are finished, and then we'll study the word.
Oh, this next song right here is for those of you with challenges. How many people got challenges out there? Anybody got some mountains in their way that is just too big for you? You can't get around it. You can't go under it. You can't get over it. I want you to know giants come down. Giants die. Sometimes you gotta walk around your own Jericho wall and shout it down. Your praise is your weapon. And when you praise, the giants gotta come down. When you worship, the giants got to come. When you shout, it's gotta come. Oh. This next song right here is for those of you with challenges. How many people got challenges out there?
I think that song is not going to play, but we got the gist of it. Glory be to God. God can handle giants. So I'm going to choose another song for tonight that's also important. Because at this stage in our lives and with everything going on, the world is not going to try to create an environment for us to have joy. Joy comes from God. But there's something that we got to learn and we got to begin to do. So I'm going to play this song, and it's entitled Encourage Yourself.
How many people are encouraged tonight?
We got to encourage ourselves. But you know, I've learned you can't encourage yourself unless you know who you are. And you'll never know who you are unless you know who Jesus is. See, encouragement of yourself, encouraging yourself is necessary because this world don't love nobody. You know, as many times, no matter how much we do for somebody, they still find fault in us, the way we talk or the way we walk or the way we look and what they think we should have did that we didn't do. But when we get to know who we are, when we really understand who we are in Christ Jesus, we know that we was wonderfully made. We know that God created us in his own image, and we could begin to walk in who we are. And when the chips are down, we could sit down and encourage ourselves, and everything will be better. At this time, it's time for us to go to the throne of grace and prayer. If anyone would like to pray, you could press the one button on your phone. And you could lead us to the throne of grace in prayer. This is an opportunity afforded by God. Dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, the God that is the lover of our soul, our eternal Father, our waymaker, burden barrier, our all in all, the great I am, the God that could do anything but fail, the God that's everywhere at the same time, know all things and has all power in his hands, the God that allows his son to come and die so that we could have a chance to the tree of life. And he left his spirit to dwell within us, to give us illumination and revelation of the truth that will lead and guide us and protect us, as well as convict us. The God that sets high and looks low. Lord, we come into you tonight because there's no other help we know. And Lord, we come into your throne of grace that you would hear what is being said tonight. The word of God, give us clarity why you had this chapter written in the Bible. And let us walk away with insight of what you want us to learn from it. Holy Ghost, I decrease and I pray that you increase. I pray that the word of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O God. God, I'm just grateful and I'm honored. I'm giving you praise, honor, and glory. I'm in position to be used by you tonight, Holy Spirit. Have your way. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen and thank God. Well, I'll say the title of the lesson again because more people have come on the line. And the title is, Wherever God Guides or Asks Anything of You, His Provisions Are in Place Waiting for You. We're coming from 1 Kings, the 17th chapter. It's the entire 17th chapter of Kings, verses 1 through 24. And I'll give a little introduction about Elijah. You see, the author of the book of 1 and 2 Kings, where this is placed in tonight, is unknown. But many Jewish traditions hold that Jeremiah was the writer. And tonight our lesson is focusing on Elijah, and Elijah was a prophet. The prophet Elijah is one of the most interesting and colorful of all biblical characters. Yet his life was so filled with turmoil that today we might say that he was up one day and down the next day. Sound like us. He was a human, just like us. Because Elijah was at times bold and decisive, and at other times fearful and unsure. But there's a lot we can learn from him, y'all. There are ways in which Elijah demonstrated the power of God and the instance where he plunged into deep depression. Come on now. But here we see in these chapters and these verses how God used Elijah. This lets us know God is not looking for our perfection, but our direction. And God just want to know that he could use us. God's got the power and the provision to make it happen. Come on, y'all. You just got to be a willing vessel. Like even with Elijah with his depression, and his fearful moments and unsurety, he still said, "Here, my God, use me." You see, in the Old Testament, a prophet was a spokesman, spokesperson for God. The prophet admonished, they warn, they direct, they encourage, they intercede the people of God, and at times they counsel them. You see, he brings the word of God to the people of God and called the people of God to respond. You know, that's what the prophets did. The prophets were telling people, if you don't change your ways, the wrath of God is going to come on you. See, he's warning them as we being warned by the Holy Spirit in our lives today. Hallelujah. You see, God appointed this man to go before kings, bringing the message of warning and repentance. Elijah did not seek to be God's messenger. Come on, y'all, the scripture don't tell us that. Matter of fact, there's very little we know about Elijah, about his birth, who his people was. You know, so you can't say Elijah was a man that from the age of 3, he followed God. And you can't, well, you could say it and it may have happened, but we don't know. And the Bible doesn't tell us. But the point I'm making is that God chooses who he wants to do the things that he wants done, that he designed in his intended purpose for each of us before the foundation of the world. Elijah was a human being just like any of us, a man of similar hopes and dreams, weaknesses, and shortcomings, but also a man of deep faith in God. Hallelujah. We know Elijah had faith in God. Elijah was a bold, direct, to-the-point prophet of God. So we know that probably got him in a lot of trouble. By speaking a prophecy of God, he made many enemies, but his enemies could not overpower him because God was with him. And it's a song that was played tonight, Encourage Yourself. I can only imagine that many times Elijah had to go and encourage himself. You see, from Elijah, we see that if God before you, who could be against you? Elijah was the man one day walking with God. Him and God was in the garden in the spring day. And Elijah was taken up to heaven. And apparently he never tasted death. You can find that in 2 Kings 2:11-12. But I'll give you what the scripture says in verse 11. And it came to pass as they still went on, God and him, and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up in a whirlwind into heaven. Elijah was with Eliza. That was his partner. God took Elijah up, and he never tasted death. Many times in the word of God, you hear that when John the Baptist was came on the scene, they wanted to know it was Elijah. See, they always was looking for someone, for Elijah to return. So they figured since John the Baptist had the power and might, it was Elijah that came back and so on and so on and so on, because Elijah had never tasted death. So that's just some of the things that Elijah did. He asked God to not let it rain, and it didn't rain. And when he prayed again, and he had the rain to come, Elijah was bold and taking down many idols, they big idol Baal. Hallelujah. And in our lesson, he has an assignment to go to the evilest king there ever was, with a wife just as evil. God gave him the order to go to the king and tell him, you know, you better stop. Oh, I got something for you. So we're going to start our lesson tonight. And I'm in 1 Kings 17:1. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall be no dew, no rain these days, but according to my word. God told him, go to the king. Tell him what I'm going to do if he don't do what I want him to do. Elijah went. You see, from this we see God never leave his people in the dark. He uses his prophets to tell his people what he was going to do, whether good or bad. We can believe this because the scriptures say God explains it. Surely the Lord God does nothing unless he reveal his secrets to his servants, the prophets. That scripture, y'all, is found in Amos 3:7. And that's why I tell many people God doesn't do anything without letting his people know, even today. He just don't keep us in the dark. You see, we first meet Elijah when he suddenly appeared to challenge Ahab, an evil king. Elijah prophesied a drought to come upon the whole land as the consequences for Ahab's sin. We know all sin have consequences. Here God uses Elijah the prophet to announce the punishment and to warn the Israelites, which is his chosen nation, to change their ways. I told you that Ahab was the worst ruler in ancient Israel history. And watch this. His wife Jezebel was so evil that she come to symbolize revengeful vengeance, malice, immorality, and cruel, one of the crudest women throughout history. And even today, when someone calls you a Jezebel and it's not your name, they're considering that you have the morals of King Ahab's wife, Jezebel. You know how people say she ain't nothing but a Jezebel. They're talking about the characteristics that Ahab, wife Jezebel, had. You see, when he married his wife, he was already evil. And he got with someone just as evil or evil, more evil than him. He became the first Israelite king in the Bible who aligned himself with heathenism, idolatry, barbaric worship of false god, and just plain evil. And I guess I could say this with, it just appeared to me that Satan had his couple on the throne. He had the man and the wife. He had his couple on the throne doing whatever he wanted them to do. And there was no limits of what they would not do that was evil, barbaric, sinister. They just was horrible. Satan, yes, had his couple on the throne, but God had his man in the field who was performing miracles and leading revivals against false gods. 3.5 years drought that Elijah prayed for was part of God's judgment on the wickedness of the nation and its leaders. And verse 2, and the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself in the brook Cherith, that is before the Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook. See, this way it get good, y'all. See, Elijah went to the king that was so evil, and, you know, he didn't like what Elijah was saying. So, you know, he was going to want vengeance on Elijah, put a hitman on Elijah, and was going to try to get rid of him by any means necessary. That's why this way the word of God came to him saying, get thee hence and turn the eastward and hide thyself by the brook of Cherith that is before the Jordan. And God tell him, look, go hide yourself. Look what he tell him here in verse 4. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook. You know, they needed water. He said, look, I'm going to have a brook there. Come on, y'all, provisions. And look what he goes on to say in the verse. And I have commanded a raven, a bird, to feed thee there. He said, look, I'm sending you there. And you have to go there because of me, what I wanted you to do. He said, but I'm going to send you over there. I'm going to guide you. And just like the lesson tonight says, whenever God acts you away, he guides you. The provisions is already there. See, Elijah just had to go where God told him to go. There was a brook that was going to supply the water. A raven was going to come and feed him. So verse 5 says, so he went and did according to the word of the Lord. For he went and dealt at the book of Sheridan that is before Jordan. And look what verse 6 says. And the raven brought him bread and flesh in the morning. Hallelujah, y'all. And bread, flesh in the evening. And he drank of the brook. Isn't God giving evidence to us in his scripture tonight that wherever he guides us or whatever he asks us to do, that the provisions is already there waiting for us? Come on, y'all. You see, God sent Elijah to hide, and as the drought dried up the stream and withered the crops of the nation. See, so everybody was going to have a problem with a need for water. Come on, y'all. And they was going to run out of food because the crops was going to dry out. And you know, if you don't have water for your animals, you're not going to have the meat. But God told him where to go. You see, whatever or whenever God has something for you to do, he never set you up to fail. You know, God didn't tell him to do that and go hide and get it. How you get it? He said, look, I got the water. You're going to be delivered the bread. You're going to be delivered the meat. You see, all of God's assignments have provision attached. Do you believe it? Do you believe it? You know, and I saw that scripture where God, well, let me back it up. I'm going to tell you how I decided to do this program on tonight. I was talking to a man the other day, and he had a T-shirt on, but he had a top shirt on top of it, and we was talking about the goodness of God. And he said, I just want to sum it up about God. And he opened his shirt, and under his shirt was the writing on the T-shirt. And the writing on the T-shirt says, where God guides, he also provides. And it sounded good to me. I said, that sounds like a lesson for Wednesday night. So I came inside and I tried to find the scripture. Well, lo and behold, can we say that is biblical? Yes, it's biblical. But is it a scripture? No, it's not. It's not in the Bible. But God has given us so much writing. And this is one of the main ones where we know that that statement, which is not a scripture, is biblical because it's truth. It's the truth. Where God guides, he provides. It's not a scripture, y'all. You can't find it, those five words written in the Bible anywhere. And that's how I got with this. But the scripture we read tonight and the verses we read before this, it's pure evidence that where God guides, he also provides. You see, all of God's assignments, like I say, have provisions attached. God never asks you to do anything without providing the provisions needed to fulfill it for his intended purpose. You see, if we go back to Jeremiah 29:11, say, I know the thoughts that I have towards you, say, God, thoughts of not evil and good, but good. Listen, God has design and intended purpose for all of our lives before we were born. And when the scripture says he's working all things out together for our good, is he's putting in place everything necessary for us to fulfill the intended purpose that he designed for us. That's why it says God is working all things out for our good. God has given everything that is necessary for us to live a righteous life. God, you know, Philippians 2:13, it is God that working in you to will and to do his good pleasures. It is God working in you to will. That means give you the desire. God has to give you the desire, and you have to accept the desire that he had intended for you. So it says, it is God working in us to will, to give us the desire and to do. To do is mean to be able to do it. It's not predicated on us, y'all. We just have to submit. Come on, y'all. God's not telling us to go do something and not directing us how to do it and giving us what we need to accomplish it. Look back over your life. Think things over and see how God has worked it out for your good. There are some things you didn't even think about, but God gave you the desire, and then he gave you the ability to do it. There are some people that you may know that no matter what they put their hand to becomes a success. There are some people, no matter what they do and how hard they do it, it always seems to fail. But God's intended purpose, God is working for our good, and he's providing the provisions. Come on, y'all. And he's leading and guiding us along the way. You got to trust him with your whole heart. You got to believe it to achieve it. You see, God is the one that's able to open one door and close another one. He could open one door, he could close a door, he could open a closed door, and he could close an open door. God. See, we could only see what's in front of our face, but God knows what's before us. That's why sometimes in some things you ask of God, the answer is no or not now. Nah. He's no, you're not ready. But when God put it together, it's going to flourish like a brook of water and a fast streaming stream. Hallelujah, y'all. Verse 7. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of God came unto him, saying, God's word came to Elijah. Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongs in Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he rose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was standing there. Now watch this, y'all. God sent him to the brook. He had his water. The raven came and a raven fed him. Hallelujah. But now the brook is dried up. So God got to give him part two of the provision. Because see, God don't just send you there and then when that's all gone, leave you stuck out. See, that's how Satan operates. See, Satan will trickle something before your eyes that looks so good and get you to come over. But when it's all gone and all run out and you done hit rock bottom, Satan walks away. So this brook dried up. God said, here, let me tell you what to do now. He said, go over there and they're going to have a widow woman collecting sticks. So he got there and he called her and he said, I'm still in the scripture, y'all. Fetch me, I pray, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. See, he's thirsty. The brook done dried up. In verse 11, and as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thy hand. And she said, as the Lord God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in the barrel and a little oil in the cheer. And behold, I'm gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress is for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. In other words, there's no more after this. And if I make this little cake and me and my son eat it, we're going to sit down and wait to die. There are no other place. And I'm sure she hadn't already borrowed all she could borrow, and people had given what they could afford to give it, because remember, the drought was on everybody. So she knew there was nothing else to get from nowhere. She said, so I'm going to make this little thing with this little I have, and we're going to die. And verse 13, and Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said. But make me, therefore, a little cake first. Now, Elijah going forth. You know, the scriptures, when we learned about Elijah, sometimes he was fearful and undecisive and probably kind of humble and stuff like that. But here we see him being bold. The lady said, I just have enough for my last meal for me and my. And now you're going to tell me to go make it. Make a cake and give it to you first. He said, make the cake first. Scripture, y'all, 13. And bring it unto me. And after, make thee and for thy son. That's bold. For thus said the Lord of Israel. He said, now look, if you do it, let me tell you what God said. I'm still in the scripture. Verse 13. He said, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cure of oil fail until the day that the Lord sent it rain upon the earth. He said, if you do this for me, the Lord said that you'll never want. You'll always have plenty. And he's going to sustain you with his provision until everything is back to normal. This had to be hard for the widow, y'all. Not only did she want, he want some of the not enough she had, but he wanted her to feed him first and after that make some for herself. She agreed to take care of the prophet, even though she had no money and only enough food for her and her son to eat their final meal. The question has to be asked tonight. Are you willing to give your last? She apparently knew about Elijah and his faith in God. You see what I'm saying? It's never said she was that she worshiped God. She heard about Elijah and the God of Israel. You know, they had many stories about the God of Israel, and even though some of them believe it, they still had their idol gods. She trusted Elijah when she said she could, she trusted him when he said she could trust God. And that trust was turned into, come on, y'all. See, she believed Elijah knew God. So the words that Elijah said to her, she believed was from God. So she trusted what he said. And that trust turned into faith. You know, at that time, and the scripture don't tell us, but her faith was not completely in God at the time. Here we see that you only need the faith the size of a mustard seed. You know, we have to move sometime even though we don't fully understand. But we will understand it by and by. Elijah had told her that God would make her food last. She believed it. She knew Elijah, knew God. How many people you could tell something to that could believe it because you said it? How many people could see enough evidence in you that you connected to God and know who you belong to. Many people in your life, you know they are being handled by Satan. How many people, and there are people that you know are people of God. That lady believed Elijah. Can someone believe you? In verse 15, and she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. And she and he in her house did eat many days, and the barrel of oil wasted not, neither did the curl, the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the curl of oil, according to the word of Lord, the Lord which he spoke to Elijah. Now he keep taking care of him. She probably began to believe, and her faith increased day by day every time that meal and that oil produced. Come on, y'all. God has given the evidence of what he could do even to this woman. Verse 17, and it came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick. And his sickness was so sore, and there was no breath left in him. And she said unto Elijah, what have I done? What have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou come unto me to call my sins to remember it and to slay my son? See, her son got so sick, so now she thinks it's punishment from God for her sin. You know, back then, when things like this happened, they said it had to be sin. You know, if you're blind and can't see, they figured everything was because of sin. You know, if God is allowing things turmoil in your life, they say it's because of sin. Like you remember Job, his friends asked him, man, what sins did you commit for this much? And Job said, man, look, if I committed sins, I didn't commit this much. I ain't 100% righteous, but I ain't that bad. But we learned that it was only a test. The man that was blind by the pool, the Pharisees and Sadducees asked, you know, what sins did he do to help to make him get blind? And he didn't have, you know, no sins that could have caused it. So they said, what your mama did or your daddy did. But that's how it was in that culture. So she asked Elijah, you done came in. You a man of God. So my sins are being revealed. And because of my sins, my son has died. And 19, he said unto her, give me thy son. And he took him out of her bosom and carried him into the loft where he abode and laid him upon his bed. And he cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord, my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourned by laying a son? Now he's wondering if his sin that he brought with him is causing the sin and the punishment to fall on the woman. Come on now. And he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord, my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came unto him again, and he retrieved. Hallelujah, y'all. And Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chamber into the house and delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, son, liveth. And the woman said unto Elijah, she said, now by this, I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of God in thy mouth is true. You see, the woman's son fell sick. She thought he was being reminded of a sin. So many times people say, you know, there's karma in the world, and whatever you do, you got to pay back. So many times they're going through trials and tribulations. They think it's catchback from God for what they had done. Come on, y'all. They call it karma and this and that, like God is, you know, doing tic-tac and different things like that. And that's the way the little woman feeling. Elijah even had to check himself and wonder if because of something he did. You see, when things happen in our lives, we begin to question our past mistakes or our current sins and even our lack of faith for the reason for our situation. But you must remember, God uses everything for his glory. Always remember that it could be a test, like Job, a trial to make us mature. God did a lot of things to the children of Israel to help them to grow up and be mature. And everything God orchestrated allowed for his glory. You see, God always gives us evidence needed to trust him. You see, after the prophet raised her son from the dead, the widow proclaimed that she too trusted in God of Elijah and that his words were the truth from God. You see, God used the circumstances by working all things out for their good and to increase the widow's faith. And she also fully believed in the God of Elijah. See, God uses everything to accomplish his will and his way in the lives of his people. And here we see God, you know, did the same thing. God wanted that widow woman to be saved. So he hooked it up where Elijah go to her house. Come on, y'all. It was all a part of God's master plan. But where God led Elijah and what he asked of Elijah, he had all the provisions in place for Elijah. And that's what he's doing in our lives. You got to trust him. You got to believe it to achieve it. And that's our lesson for tonight. Any questions, concerns, comments, you can press the 1 button on your phone, and I'll open your mic. See, we always say God is working it out. We always say God's going to provide. We always say many things. Some people say if you make one step, God will make two. That's not scripture. But we believe that God will. There's so many things that God has done and doing and promised to do in our lives. Caller, your number is 678. Your mic is open.
Yes. I enjoyed the lesson and the widow woman at Zarephath showed an act of faith when she shared her last meal with Elijah. That showed us that she had faith and trust in God. I enjoyed the lesson. Thank you.
Yeah. And even though her faith wasn't full grown at that time, that's when you take the scripture, faith the size of a mustard seed. God told us if we just have the faith the size of a mustard seed, it's going to work and perform and do what's necessary. That lady wasn't studying the scriptures and even trusting God. They was idle. for God used her mightily. And see, she was going to already be blessed when Elijah came, and she did what God said. She had already paid her way for the blessings. He asked, and she gave. And what about us? Who's done studied for 50 years and things like that? She had the faith the size of a mustard seed. And it accomplished what God needed accomplishing and through her. Faith, y'all. Faith produced grace. She received the grace of God, y'all. And God said his grace is sufficient. See, it all ties in and it all back itself up on each other. And it's a 360, the word of God produced grace. And the grace of God fed her son, and Elijah. So things got back to normal. Sometimes you got to give to get. All that happened was that she was asked. And she gave. And she believed. And she received. Anyone else? Thank you so much, Sister Paula. Any other comments? Questions or concerns? Anybody want to give us another fact with the information for tonight? Anyone would like to lead us out in a prayer or give us a benediction? Anyone would like to sing a song? Well, that's our lesson for tonight. And I'm just asking that each and every one of us grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, now and forevermore. And that's it for tonight. Again, I thank each and every one of you for coming to hear the words of wisdom, plain and simple. Thanks to each and every one of you. And if it's your will and God's desire, we'll meet back next week at the same time. But until then, go in peace. And it is my prayer that God bless you real good. Good night.